I invite you this morning to consider three passages and one story with me this morning. The story starts in our first passage, a well-known one, Exodus chapter 12, where God says to Moses, "This month shall be for you," that is Israel, "the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It shall be a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs that they shall eat." Dropping down to verse 11. "In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are at. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel." Verse 17. "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread." Verse 24. "You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the Lord's sacrifice of the Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but he spared our homes.'" And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. Verse 40. "The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is now a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations." Thus is the foundational feast for Israel. It was the feast by which God liberated them from the bondage, the captivity to Egypt. But what we as New Testament Christians don't understand was really that slavery was a symbolism of the entire human race's bondage to sin. The deliverance that the Lord was bringing was a judgment upon sin and upon the world ultimately, not just Egypt. Egypt was just a down payment. And the blood of the Lamb would allow God to pass over the homes and the houses of his people. But God makes very clear, if one of his own people does not themselves put the blood on their doorposts, They themselves would be judged just like the Egyptians, just like the rest of the world. God also makes clear that the Passover itself was one meal that was merely the beginning of a week of feasting, but feasting consumed by very severe responsibilities. It was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It began with Passover and went on for another week. During that week, as we just read, no leaven was to be in their houses. They were to eat no bread that was leavened. And even if they had put the blood on their doorposts and the Lord had passed over them the night of the Passover itself, the text makes very clear, if they partook of leaven during that following feast, they themselves, even as one of the people of God, would be cut off, would be reckoned no longer a part of the people of God, would be considered no longer part of Israel, would be reckoned accursed with the rest of Egypt and the rest of the world. And as we just read as well, this feast, the Passover and the week it initiated, were to be kept over the generations. Parents were to explain to their children, this is who we are, this is what we do, and this is why we do what we do. In fact, the keeping of memory, the passing on from one generation to another as they kept their responsibilities to the Lord week by week in the Sabbath, year by year in the proclaimed feasts and festivals, generation by generation, as one generation begat the next, taught them and raised them, is that we are to recount over and over again at the appointed time, whether it's the Sabbath day, whether it's the annual, a particular annual feast, or whether it's just as we walk in the way with our children, we are to keep telling the story over and over again. And the story fundamentally, whatever the particular details may be, the story fundamentally is this, that we were slaves in captivity to sin, and that the Lord delivered us through the blood of the Lamb. And this is why we gather, this is why we eat and drink, this is why we eat what we eat and drink. This is why we eat what we eat and drink. This is how we are to eat what we eat and drink. Another passage in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Not the Passover itself, but just to reiterate how the story is told, the foundational story, and everything that revolves around the foundational story. Here, God gives instructions to the Israelite who would bring the first fruits of his harvest as was required by the law. He would bring them to the priests. He would bring them to the place that God declared the tabernacle first and then later the temple. And God told the Israelites, you shall go to the priest who was in office at that time and you shall say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give to us. In other words, that God has accomplished his promises, that we are now in the land, that we have received the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God has delivered us from captivity, that he has offered us the promised land we now know as eternal life. And the priest shall take the basket of first fruits from your hand. He shall set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean, that's Abraham. A wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down into Egypt and he sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. And we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place, and he gave us this land, or we might say today, this assembly, this very morning. It's a good place, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring to the first fruit of the ground of the Lord, which you, O Lord, have given me. In other words, this is why we will take up a collection later this morning, because we worship the Lord because of what he's done as well. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, to be sure. But we also offer to the Lord why? The first fruits of what we have been blessed with, because he has brought us out of Egypt with a strong and mighty arm. He has brought us to a good place. And he has prospered us mercifully and graciously. and you will set it down before the Lord your God, and you will worship the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. And that brings us finally to our third passage this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In light of what we just read, let us take to heart this morning the seriousness of what Paul says to Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Where in the second half of verse 7, he says this. He says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Notice how he phrases that, has been sacrificed. In other words, the Passover has already happened. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is where we are now at, what we have moved into. This is why we eat what we eat. This is why we drink what we drink. This is why we live what we live. We now live in the days of unleavened bread. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival. I believe there by context, Paul doesn't mean just the Passover itself, but also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Not with the old leaven of sin and worldliness in the context. In fact, the reason he's saying this now, the reason the word "for" begins this sentence, is he's giving the reason why they should have dealt with the sin in their midst. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It matters not just what we partake, when we partake, and how we partake, and why we partake. It matters who we are when we partake. Paul translates the external ritualistic aspects of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to the moral and spiritual condition of the people of God as they live before him. The Passover lamb, ladies and gentlemen, has already been sacrificed. It is the time for us to live in houses that are unleavened and lives that are unleavened. And so then it helps us understand all the more as we gather at the table this morning why we need to take Paul's admonition and its larger context seriously. May we gather to remember, to celebrate, to worship. But may we also, in light of the fact that, as Paul makes very clear with his verb tenses in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that the feast has already begun because the lamb has already been sacrificed, may we make sure there is no leaven in our own lives. All of this helps us understand why it's in the very same letter, just a couple of pages later, in the famous chapter 11, that Paul, as he condemns the Corinthians for the chaos of their communion, says this in verse 28, "Let a person examine himself, and then so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Let each of us this morning, as we eat and drink, not only eat and drink in worship and thanksgiving and in celebration, all of which are fit and right for this moment, but may all of us, as we each partake, do so with a sober awareness that we are now living in the midst of a holy feast and time, and that you and I can only rightly partake with hearts and lives that have been properly prepared with the driving out, the cleansing out of the leaven that is an abomination before the Lord. With this in mind, let us eat and let us drink.